the COOs. Welcome to Parliament. You would be giving us a presentation on your annual performance plan for 2018-2019 and your budget plan. Honourable members, welcome to our meeting. I would hand over to honourable members to introduce themselves so that we also hand over to South African Tourism to do a brief introduction so that we know who is who in the meeting. I am Honourable Lucy Zomakubela Mashele. I'm acting as the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Tourism. I'd hand over to you, Honourable Masihela.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, the members, and the SAT. I'm Maluku Masihela, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is James Force. I'm a DA committee member. Thank you.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Patricia Adams, and I represent the ANC in this committee.
Morning, everybody. I'm Patricia Pam Mugwanya. I'm a member of this committee, and I represent the African National Congress. I thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to everybody. Name is Sintua Begwa from KZN, member of this committee representing the African National Congress. Thank you.
Morning. My name is Greg Kambak. I represent the Democratic Alliance from KwaZulu-Natal.
Thank you, honourable members. I'll hand over to the South African Tourism team led by the board chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Sorry, I look a bit flustered. I was in Copenhagen last night, and it's nice to know as a tourist you can shower at the airport in Joburg. Excuse me for my ruffled look. But and I wanted to just say, Honourable Chair and members, that I said bye-bye to you last time, not realising actually there was one more, and quite an important one, this one. Also, my understanding is, and I've been informed, that the CEO has tendered his apologies for today. It's a pity that he's not here, because I think it's a very key meeting, and I think in the future we need to maybe have a chat. We are on our way out as a board, so, but I do think that as a board going out, this is a very important, many of these meetings are very important, the quarterly meetings, but this particular meeting is so important in terms of any public entity coming to show our principles, what it is we want to do and what you're giving us the money for. So I just wanted to make that comment. Also, just to say, Chair, which you already know, of course, is that, you know, the annual performance planning cycle starts quite early in the financial year. And by the time the cabinet reshuffle happened and our minister changed, we were just in the second draft of that APP process, developing the APP process. And I wanted to just say that we had quite intensive discussions with our previous Minister Khan, who had very strong ideas around emerging business, around transformation. And we when Minister Hanekam came back, we then discussed with him on that, and he wanted us to retain some of those changes. So what you will see, hopefully it will be clear, and maybe you can even guide us to make it stronger, is that we have taken the legacy of Minister Khaza and brought and also added, strengthened matters that Minister Hanekam feels is important. In addition, we also, in the second draft of the APP, had to review the SONA by President Ramaphosa and make some changes that match the SONA speech. And of course it comes a little bit late in that APP cycle because we're already on second draft. So what you are now seeing is an APP that has been signed off for 2018-19. And the cycle of planning, as you know, is quite a long one. and I really do appreciate your views, and that we would wish, though, you know, as I said, the board is ending its term this month, end of May, but we would wish that your views would be seen in the cycle as we go into the next cycle of APP, and in fact that should be normal practice. So those were just a few comments, and my colleague who is the acting CEO, Stembiso Dlamini, will give us more detail. But can I just then ask my colleagues to introduce themselves and who they are? Sorry, I should have done it first, but just to say who they are. Thank you.
My name is Tom Bower, from South African Tourism, and I am the CFO of SA Tourism.
Morning, Honourable Chair and members. My name is Thembiso Dlamini. I'm the COO and today acting CEO for SA Tourism.
Good day, everyone. My name is Wabela Amtobedi. I work in the Research Department of South African Tourism.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pietro Faneka. I'm representing the DG's Office of Tourism, and I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer.
Morning, everyone. My name is Armstrong Mangani. I'm from the Department of Tourism and the Deputy Director for Indigenous Oversight. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Riyad Adamson, and I'm from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
I can open to the
thank you, good afternoon to everybody. My name is Sherry Boltina, the secretary of this committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Can we take apologies?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we have received three apologies. One from the Office of the Minister, for the Minister, and then the other one from the Office of the Deputy Minister, and also from Honourable Kaiko. Those are the three apologies we have received for this meeting. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Members. Board Chairperson, since you've mentioned the fact that the CEO is not here, we did receive an apology from his side, but I guess it is now the second row that he's not coming to such crucial meetings. The first was when the entity was taking its performance for the second and third quarter, and now this is also an important meeting where he's supposed to be mapping the way forward on how he or the entity spends the money that we give them and give accountability for the money that he spends. So I guess it's now discomfort from us as members of the portfolio committee. We must register that acting CEO, you must send that message to him that it is discomfort to us now that he is not coming to the meeting second time in a row, whereas the program of Parliament has been there. It's not as if it's something that came as a surprise. The program is there. He needs to structure his work according to the program that's there. You know, and if there are any emergencies, tell us in time so that we are able to structure. Perhaps we're going to structure our program so that we allow him to be here. Because we understand, as Chair, you are the CEO, you will take some of the responsibility, but you can't take full responsibility. It has to be him who is holding the position that he's holding as the CEO. And on that note, I just want to, for you to convey the message to the CEO of the discomfort that the Portfolio Committee is having towards his absenteeism on very crucial meetings. Then the second part, I would want, at least when you're setting the scene, because I haven't seen it here, you know, the tourism industry has been having some very negative brand positioning recently within the South African space. We know Australia has issued out some travel warnings. We know that there are tourists that have the Norwegian tourists that went missing along the Garden Route. We know the Iron Man that has that lost his life in the Eastern Cape. Perhaps you could tell us, how are you mitigating against such negative brand positioning of our country as the chief marketer of the country for people to come and visit as a destination of choice? With those few words, I would hand over to you, Team South African Tourism, to take us through the APP. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. How we're going to tackle the APP today is I'm going to give the first part, which is the setting the scene, which the chairperson of the board has done, and I'm going to go straight into the environmental scan, just to give portfolio committee members a sense of what are the things that we're dealing with in the environment. And Wavela, who is the head of analytics, will take us through the KPIs that would support the work that we'll be doing, together with targets. He's responsible for target setting. So he'll be able to take the committee through the process that we've followed and the KPIs that we've set for this financial year. And the CFO will then take us through the budget which the board has approved as part of this annual performance plan. Okay, I don't forget that. Okay, this is just the content of our presentation today. I'm not going to go through it. Next slide. In setting the scene, the chairperson of the board has already mentioned that we had to revise our APP in line with the changes that have happened in government. Over and above the APP as an entity, what we've done is we've just gone through a robust business planning process. So we've taken some of the key things that came through SONA. Those are the three key areas which we think as the public entity actually resonates with what the president has said. The first thing is in the red box is we want to enhance support for destination marketing in key tourism markets. So it is quite aligned to the work that we've done in terms of the marketing investment framework. It's how we look at other partners which will help us to deliver this mandate. The second part is take further measures to remove and reduce regulatory barriers. Of course, this is not sitting squarely as you know in the agency. It's something that is led by the ministry and the Department of Tourism, together with other counterparts within the government space. We, however, give input, from the marketing side and the impact of these regulatory barriers. The third element is what the chairperson of the board has alluded to around developing emerging tourism businesses. So at the heart of what we do, enterprise development and creating market access for these businesses is key. Next slide. The next slide, honourable members, talk to just a recap of the goal that we've set for ourselves. You would remember in 2016 when our tourism growth strategy was revised, we had set ourselves a goal of increasing our base by 5 million arrivals or trips during 2017 to 2021. So we're sitting here presenting an APP which is year two of that 5-in-5 goal or that enhanced strategy for growth implementation. And in there, our objectives are still the same. Basically, the objective there talks to what are the choices that we've made in terms of where to invest in which market. The second strategic objective talks to how do we then, to your point earlier, the Honourable Chair, how do we position our destination as a leisure and business events brand? And the third strategic objective talks to who do we play with to win? Because as SA Tourism, as an agency, we know that the fulfillment part, we would not be able to do it on our own. There are numerous partners in the sector that assist us to deliver this tourism mandate. Strategic objective four talks to how do we then enhance the visitor experience, which is the most important thing. When we market, we create demand, we create a brand promise. But the most important thing is on the ground, how do we ensure that our visitors actually experience the brand the way we've positioned it. And the last two strategic objectives talk to South African tourism as an agent. Strategic objective 5, which positions us as an agency as a thought leader. Basically, as a thought leader around destination marketing, around analytics and insights, as well as business events industry. And the last one, Chair, talks to organizational effectiveness and how do we then drive efficiencies in the business to ensure that we get a return on investment. Next slide. The next slide basically depicts how we have taken the 5 in 5 goal and shared it with our provincial counterparts. Like I said earlier, Chair, in 2016, we have done a process of now reviewing the tourism growth strategy, which was approved by the board and the minister. And in developing that strategy, we did roadshows, we did collaboration and consultation sessions with both private sector and the provinces. And what we've done to ensure that the provinces actually understand their role in 5 in 5 is that the analytics guys drew data. We said, what are the key source markets for each and every province? So each and every province was given, these are your top 3 source markets. So whatever you do from an experience point of view, from a product development point of view, should be focused on those markets. And we took the 5 in 5 and broke it down in terms of provinces. We know for a fact that, obviously, because tourism is a concurrent function, from a monitoring point of view, we had to set processes in order to monitor the implementation of 5 in 5. One of those platforms that we've created are the CEOs Forum with provincial tourism authorities, so which meets on a quarterly basis just to check how far we are. And the second part is MIPTEC. At MIPTEC, that's where you have the heads of departments of the Department of Tourism in provinces, as well as the CEOs and the department sitting together, monitoring the implementation of the NTSS, which 5 in 5 falls squarely in there. And lastly, we take all these reports into MINMEC, which is chaired by the minister. So those are some of the platforms that we had to come up with to actually ensure that there is proper monitoring of this goal and the implementation of the NTSS. Some of the things that we do while still on the slide, which is quite important, which is sitting as part of our work as SA Tourism, is when we create market access and we decide we want to take SMEs, the SMEs are sitting at provincial level. So what provinces would do is to identify SMEs in their provinces on various tourism offering, whether it's tour operators, whether it's products, whether it's experiences, and give them to us and for training and for market access. Next slide. So this slide is what we live and breathe with at SA Tourism. So when Mwavela and his team receive the numbers from SSA, they produce this dashboard for us to check how far we've gone. So basically, this slide talks to year one, how we've actually performed against year one of our 5 in 5. If you look at the first part, remember the 5 in 5, 4 million of that is international tourists, and 1 million of the 5 in 5 is the domestic holiday trips and not the total. Holiday trips and not the total. So the first one talks to the target for domestic holiday trips. We've seen an increase, approximately 12% increase in terms of domestic holiday trips. However, we know that if you go into, you know, through the presentation, the total trips have declined and drastically, and we know that VFR actually drives that that decline. So we did an analysis of what caused that holiday trip to go or to increase. And one of the things that we got through the surveys is a lot of South Africans who were taking trips overseas because of the economic status or the economy not doing well, they had to reconsider going overseas and actually to take a second trip around the country. And when it comes to international tourists, year one, where our target was sitting at 10.9, I must mention that the 10.9 as part of 5 in 5 was a stretch target. It was the audacious goals, as we call it internally. So for year one, instead, a target of 10.9, and we achieved 10.3 million arrivals, short of 614,000, behind the five target for year one. So internally, we call it a balanced portfolio of performance. So when we planned this year, we had to look at the markets and say, how are we going to absorb this 614? Which markets are going to give us greater returns? So that when now we do the investment, we actually up the investment with a view that we will be able to squeeze the numbers. From the 10.3 million air markets, which actually include Africa air markets and the rest of the world, account, we have seen a growth of about 5.9%, and we recorded 3.1 million international tourist arrivals from air markets. You would see, honorable members, that the land markets carry a lot of weight in terms of the arrivals. So 74% of arrivals from the land markets, of the total arrivals, comes from the land market. And with this picture, the last paragraph on the slide under international marketing is to show that if you look at global growth, globally, arrivals grew by 7%. So our growth as a destination is below that global growth as stated by UNWTO. And the sub-Saharan Africa grew at 5%, which is lower compared to the 8.9 growth in 2016. And then on slide 11, I'll talk to the barriers to fight impact delivery. This slide, honorable members, just gives you a nine-year view of how we've been performing as a destination from an international tourism point of view. You would note that there was a huge jump in 2015, where we're sitting at a deficit of 6.8%, and where in 2016 we saw a growth of 12.8%. I need to mention that if you look at the difference there, what was happening in the environment, just to recap a bit, was we had an issue of Ebola happening at that point in 2015 when we closed the year, but also that June 2015 of that year, we had the introduction of the new immigration regulations. But also from externally where we invested markets, we had certain markets going through economic challenges. I mean, we had markets such as Brazil experiencing recession. So if you look at 2016, our compound average growth should be sitting at 3% as opposed to that 12.8%. So it's 12.8 because we're actually starting from a very, very, very low base. Next slide. So the next slide just gives a sense of where did we get the 10.3 million from. If you look at the North America, North America grew by 7.8% from 2016. As a business, we're saying there is a lot of opportunity that sits in that continent. And we are working very close with our missions to look at how do we tap into segments. I don't know what to call it. I don't want to call it segments because Wabena will fight with me. But a niche focus areas of African Americans in that region, and as well as driving group travel or incentives. So we're putting plans to actually invest. When we presented our business plan for North America, it had a very, very strong focus on African Americans and group travel to try and get to close the 614,000 gap that we saw coming from 2017. Europe grew by 7.6% from 2016. I need to mention that when you look at Europe, you had UK. In fact, we feel that we could have actually exceeded that percentage growth. But we had the UK, which is one of our biggest markets, not growing. I think we experienced a flat growth. It didn't grow and we didn't see any decline there. And there we think that is the impact of Brexit, because consumer confidence was low as well. So a lot of Brits were not taking a holiday long haul because they were very conservative in their spending. Middle East is an area that the board has actually pushed us to look at it, because it's a value market, it's a high value market. If you look at the arrivals, they're sitting at 55%, but the spend, if you look at the spend, they are high spenders. So
55,000.
Yeah, it's 55,000, sorry. 4.4% up from 2016. Thank you, Chair. And if you look at it, we've now have a special focus on that region. We've appointed someone to actually look at that region and work with a trade to establish that region. At this point in time, we're doing trade work. We haven't started with consumer work. So our interaction is with the airlines and the people who are selling. Asia, which is a sore point, you will see that we're sitting at 3.3 down from 2016. What drives that decline is China. And some of the things that we're experiencing is China. On top of the list of China's barriers is around safety and security, the perception of safety and security. You would remember, Chair, that and honorable members, that we had a couple of incidences around Chinese tourists. In here, in South Africa, the news didn't spread as wide, but in market, it was all over the show. And the fact that China is a highly connected country, because it's digitally, the news travels very fast. So those perceptions meant that as the Chinese travelers looked at alternative destinations. If you look at globally, a lot of markets or a lot of countries have actually benefited out of this region. So as a result, we are now refocusing. We're looking at what are some of the things or initiatives that we can do in China to try and bump up the numbers or to improve the perception. Visa capacity processing was one of the key barriers that drove this market down. It adds to the cost. It's things like in-person application which adds to the cost. So our value for money proposition actually goes down. So those are some of the things that drove the numbers in Asia. You have India in that market as well. Where in India, one of the biggest hubs in India, in Mumbai, the visa processing capacity became a challenge. So those are some of the things that drove that that region down. Australasia is sitting at 1.4% up from 2016. We believe that that number could have grown. In that region, you have New Zealand, where we did reciprocal visa requirements. Immediately, we saw an almost 30% drop from New Zealand. So those are some of the things that we're dealing with from that region. Africa, which is the one that I want to highlight, like I said earlier, 74% of our arrivals comes from the land. We've seen 0.8% up from 2016. In fact, the land markets performed very well towards the end of the year. A lot of things that we were faced with, biggest market in the air, Nigeria, it's visa processing. I mean, in December 2017, we were sitting at approximately 6,000 backlog of visa processing. So those are the things that we were faced with in the market. But also airlift is an issue. We had one of our biggest partner, SAA, pulling out of critical markets in the continent. And economy. The economy in the continent was not doing well. That saw a lot of countries putting thresholds in terms of the money that can be taken out of the country. Angola is case in point. Nigeria faced the same thing. Zimbabwe was faced with the same thing, equally Tanzania. Next slide. This slide, honorable members, just wants to depict some of the key barriers that we identified as barriers for delivery. Airlift is one of it. Honorable members, when we came for the quarterly review session, I think in the last meeting that we had with the committee, there was a point around what is SA Tourism doing in terms of airlift. So what we are doing right now is we're working with the route development committees in the three provinces, key provinces, which is Western Cape, KZN, and Gauteng. I'm happy to report that quite recently we have Alitalia, which returned back the route from Rome to Johannesburg. They've been off the market for 16 years, which is a plus for us because South Europe is one of the key regions that we want to drive the numbers from. So they have four daily flights into Johannesburg, Rome, Johannesburg. And we know that they are now introducing another flight into Mauritius, which actually gives us an opportunity to partner with Mauritius from a Retosa point of view. The other things, new things within that space is that we have BA, which is operating you know, from a market which we want growth, which is the UK. So BA is increasing frequency into Johannesburg and into KZN, into King Shaka Airport. And so these are some of the things that we do in this route development committees. We know that Asia is a sore point. Airlift is one of the critical things to drive the numbers from the Asia region. And we've got Singapore Airlines coming to play and saying, look, we look at South Africa as a very critical partner. We want to increase frequency into Johannesburg. But what's interesting about Singapore Airlines, if I may share, is that they want to do a stopover in Johannesburg, which addresses the issue of geographic spread with one single ticket. So they're saying you fly from the Changi Airport, your final destination is Cape Town, but you have an opportunity to stop over in Johannesburg for 2-3 days and explore the country and hop on into that flight using the very same ticket into Cape Town. So that was good news for us because we could now begin to sell other destinations in the country. The minister has put together a committee led by private sector to champion the airlift, and SA Tourism is part of that. When it comes to issues of visa, I think what we're depicting on that slide is really the impact of visa regulation. If you look at Russia, with the removal of visas for Russians, we saw an increase of 51% in 2017. And contrary to that, if you look at New Zealand, when we now introduced the visas, we saw at least 30% decline. So there is, it's just to show that there is a relationship between the decline of the arrivals and the introduction of the visa regulations. I must say that the minister has now resuscitated the barrier removal committee, which has ourselves as SA Tourism, the NDT, and private sector to champion this. And of course, he would take it forward with his counterparts. The third element is safety and security. We know for a fact that one of our critical markets in Asia is largely driven by these perceptions. And that task team has now started, and it's led by one of our board members, Ms. Nogedi, and it's driven by a private sector, but all government entities are welcome to input on the key initiatives. Chair, you've raised the issue of travel ban, and what is it that we're doing to actually position our destination or our brand. What we do in those cases is we would meet up with DELCO because it's in the international space. DELCO is in a better position to pronounce on policy issues and on the country's position on a particular ban. And what we do is, case in point with Australia, our messaging was Australia remains a very important market for us. If you look at 5 in 5, they are one of amongst the biggest contributors to the numbers. And we passed that, we closed the year with about 117,000 Australians coming, meaning that there is something that we're doing right or what the destination can offer to Australians. So those are that's the messaging that we want to push, because we can't clearly talk about issues of safety and security and travel bans. So to strengthen this base, we've now got a general manager responsible for global PR and comms to help us with the messaging, and this is a person who has been working in the media space, and we will find an opportunity to bring him in the next session. Next slide. So the next slide basically depicts the decline on the total trips for domestic. The key issue there, if you look at 2016 and 17, is a drop in the total trips from 24.3 to 17.2. But if you look at the domestic holiday trips, like I mentioned earlier, 2016 was sitting at 2.6, and we closed the year with 2.9. Next slide. And this slide talks to, it actually supports the previous slide, but it also shows much more detail around the revenue as well. If you look at specifically the holiday, the domestic holiday spend, it's sitting at 6.8 billion, and the average spend per trip has increased with 18%. And I've been asking Wabela, can we look at what is it that is driving this average spend? And we've seen that holiday spenders or holiday makers, they tend to spend more on a holiday trip than any other, like VFR and business, as well as other factors. Next slide. The slide just depicts the investment that we've made in terms of domestic. When we came for the for quarter two and quarter three, a recommendation was made that we have to go back and actually review the domestic work that we do. Mm-hmm. And then that slide basically is to look at what is it that we were doing, you know, from 2013 to now. What was in the market? What were some of the marketing initiatives that we did? So that we can actually track the performance against the marketing initiatives that we were doing. And for 2017, we couldn't do that quick analysis because the short-lived campaign was relaunched towards the end of the year. So we said by mid-year this year we should be able to actually look at the impact. But what we've seen is that the inspiration work is not a problem. The biggest job that we have is conversion. And a lot of sessions, in fact yesterday at MidTech, we had a lengthy discussion around how do we then support SA Tourism as a broader industry to create that conversion. How do we then create the gap, close the gap between inspiration work that we do and the conversion, actually driving people to book. So those are the things that we were discussing. So if you look at our short-lived campaign, it has been consistent since 2013 when it was launched, and we are continuing with it. But the biggest thing that we want to do is we want to now negotiate with big aggregators. So one of the criticisms is that you don't have small businesses aggregators. You don't have black-owned, black-managed aggregators. How do you then ensure the issue of transformation within the space? So those are the things that we're grappling with. And as soon as Wavela and team are done with the review, we should be able to come back and share with you. I think we want to conclude this within the first quarter of this financial year. The next slide are some of the things that I've been talking about. It's understanding the consumer behavior. One of the key segments or the traveling segment within domestic that we want to understand is VFR. We know that we're not going to be able to influence VFR, but we want to understand what is their travel behavior, what triggers their travel, so that our marketing messages and the packages that we actually do target VFR. And this is the work that Wavela and team are doing. The second thing around domestic is the issue of targets and measurements. Chair, you remember we said SA Tourism is responsible for the domestic survey because the power. Challenges. So we're talking with the department as to where should this survey sit. Should we be driving it as a tourism, or you know, between the us and the department, we must oversee it. So that the measurement that we look at as a tourism is to pull the campaign level data and say what is the impact to the numbers that we see or to the performance that we see. And the third element is the stakeholder messaging. Where we want to create clarity among stakeholders as to what is achievable and what are we delivering within the domestic space. And of course, the issue around VFR as a very strategic consumer segment that needs to be messaged strategically. And these are the inputs that we got from the committee the last time we spoke about domestic. The fourth element that is not there, and I need to apologize, is around the aggregators. Getting an aggregator that is going to help us, not just one, but multiple, to help us convert. In fact, yesterday when we had this discussion at MeetTech, we had someone from the Western Cape government saying, this is an opportunity for us to create something digitally driven, and then we introduce new players in the market as opposed to going to, you know, through the very same aggregators that have been there. So there's a small committee that MeetTech has now put together to explore smaller aggregators. But in the meantime, because we can't wait for the small aggregators, we would have to look at what is available in the market and how do we drive the transformation. The next slide, which is slide 16, is around business events. There has been growth in the number of business events, as well as the delegates, if you look at between 2014 and 2017. And in 2017, our target was 2017, our target was 145. So that 2017 key, that key stands for a target. And if you look at the number of delegates that we've now targeted for 2017, it was 81,700 delegates. And the bid that we've now supported for 2017 was 82. You would see a growth in this space because we have now received what we call the subvention fund, so that it increases the number of bids that we put through. Next slide, which is slide 17.
Okay, on the chair, do you
want
to stop and fix this?
We can continue.
Okay.
The next slide. What we've, the analysis which the National Convention Bureau team did was that the key or the biggest share of business events in provinces or in the country, 90% of those events are around meetings and conventions. So that slide takes us through what was the market share for each province from 2014 to 2016. But basically what we want to actually highlight in that, on that slide is around the meetings and conventions are still the biggest share of our MICE industry. And the 2017 have not been consolidated, so as part of, I think, quarter four, we'll be giving a 2017 consolidated number that has been audited. The next slide, which is slide 18, is relates to graded establishment. We've seen a decline, a 1.7% decline, which there is a decline against the target, but the grading council has seen a new entrance into the graded establishment or into the grading system. And the number of rooms have since increased 1.8% from 2016. One of the things that the committee asked us to do was around how do we look at issues of grading homestays. Yesterday at MeetTech, the department presented to us the draft tourism amendment bill, which in there talks to issues around the shared economy. In the shared economy, it talks about how the minister will be given, obviously, the opportunity to put a threshold. And that would be good because we would look at how do we then now begin to take the homestays into the graded space. The second thing that the draft tourism amendment bill will focus on for grading is it will deal a lot with the home for grading. Where does it stay? Is it a South African tourism? Is it a standalone? So it addresses those kind of things. And the third element that it addresses is around compulsory grading for entry. So those are some of the things that when the bill is now enacted, it will address those kind of things. We're now doing, the department is now doing obviously consultation with all relevant stakeholders, and we all have now been requested to give in input that could be taken through the relevant structures until it's passed. Next slide. The next slide, or the next two slides, which is slides 19 and 20, basically just shows you per province, graded establishment by type of accommodation, at 31 March 2018. I need to emphasize that those numbers have not been graded, audited. We're still waiting for audit. Graded rooms, and the slide for graded rooms become very important because this is what the National Convention Bureau will take. When they now do a bid, they look at what rooming capacity do we have which are graded, which could be part of the bid that we submit. Slide 21 Chair, talks to the framework which the board has approved around South African Tourism Transformation Framework. So we've got four key elements that drive our transformation work. We've got employment equity. I think in there we're doing quite well. We monitor it as we actually fill up the structure because of, you know, after Project Ignite, we take into consideration what are the targets that we've set for ourselves, and we report to board on a quarterly basis. The marketing activities, everything that we do around marketing, we make sure that there's a transformation element. For example, we use you know, black production companies, small casting agencies to do the work that we're doing so that at least we have we impact on growing the industry but also on jobs. Enterprise and supplier development, the CFO and his team drives this regularly. So any procurement work that we do, any procurement of services, we've got to comply with the Act, but also just to check, you know, who have we spent, who are we doing business with, so that we create the dashboard that we give to the board on a quarterly basis. And lastly is around the market access, market and entrepreneurial empowerment. This talks to the tourism industry specifically. What are some of the tourism businesses that we support, be it small tour operators, be it tour guides, be it experiences on the ground. So we have hidden gem programs that we've implemented in 2017 where we take all these hidden gems to trade platforms. We take them to the platforms that we own, which is Indaba and Meetings Africa. We also take them to roadshows where we introduce them to the trade. So this is a framework which on a quarterly basis board wants to see as to what are the activities that we're doing so that we check our impact on transformation. That's the high-level environment scan, which now had informed all our business plans in the business, all various business units, be it leisure, be it business events, and the grading council work. And from there, I'm going to hand over to Wavela, who is going to take you through from slide 22, which now goes into detail around the targets that we've set for ourselves, the KPIs that we've now set for ourselves.
Just Chair, with your permission, just before we end up on things that might interest and I think were driven sometimes by comments made by you in previous meetings, just want to raise a few things. The CEO went on a water road show, a very successful media and water road show, talking to some of the tour operators about what is the water crisis and what we're doing about it, because we feel we were seeing impact on numbers on the image of the water crisis, and that was very successful indeed. And it really, where I think we turned the story around a little bit, is what we are doing to be more sustainable about being about dealing with water, and that in itself excites travelers, and it was very successful. That was one thing I wanted to just say. Then I think in the 11 or so months when Minister Anakim wasn't here, we did not forward enough, I think, the area that he was very focused on before, which was around the information and metrics. And just as he left last time, the major report about information and metrics, and it's also an area that your members have raised in the past about how do we get those information and metrics better. And so he had started a report where we could get information from the airports company, from various other sources, and blend it to have a better picture. And if you remember, I think, Honorable Chair, you yourself raised the issue about how do you measure domestic, and we've talked about that. So
Again, I think Minister Hanukkah has revived that now, and we are definitely moving very fast on that, on having an information matrix. And I think that it would be really useful in the future for this committee to ask, actually, for a special purpose meeting, especially around our Father's God. What does it mean? How is it going to improve our lives? That's the information matrix. Then thirdly, I wanted to just tell you that what has been interesting, and we've made it now in the annual schedule of SA Tourism, is to have a meeting with the chairs of tourism in provinces once a year. And this is the second time we did it. It's in April, at the beginning of April. It coincides with the jazz, and so it's a good moment for us all to meet. And I must say, we miss out not engaging with board members of provincial tourism authorities and their chairs. It's like we don't harness all the South Africans we can towards achieving what we want. And so we have found it as a board to be a really useful thing to have those chairs and members of boards of provinces come and us to chew over the fact, discuss strategy and tactics and the way forward. It's been very useful in the last thing. And then finally, Chair, I just wanted to say, we've grappled with the transformation agenda and in the end decided that as a board, we want reports that are in SA Tourism's control. So in other words, around staff development, around procurement, around the visuals that we give, and around the companies that we use to provide us with the model, which we have struggled with. But there are lots of other areas of transformation, including the sector training area, which my understanding has been in not a good state for a number of years. The fact of the matter is that if you want jobs growth in this sector, you need people with skills and training, and if you're not feeding that pipeline sufficiently, but that is not within SA Tourism's influence and capacity to do. The other area, of course, is banking and finance and access to credit, and how banks see the tourism business as being a risk, how they see the risk for giving access to credit to new players. Again, it's not within SA Tourism's remit to do, but it really is also part of a broader transformational agenda for the sector. So we have struggled with whether we should put it in our agenda as a board, and deciding what we really want is a report back on what is within SA Tourism's ability to change. But it is a broader agenda than just those four that we have set out. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson of the Board. I hope honourable members have noted some of the comments that the Chairperson has made, and we will make a follow-up when we take the question. Can we continue?
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to take you through to the five key programs that we've identified and that we're working on in South African tourism, just to ensure that we deliver against the key objectives that we want to deliver on. The first program basically is the corporate support, business enablement, leisure tourism marketing, business events, and tourism experience. And in the very next page, it just talks about under those programs, what is the main objective of each program that we have. For example, your corporate support, what is the main aim in here is that in everything that we do as an organization, we're trying to improve in our inefficiencies. And we've identified certain KPIs that we want to measure ourselves and track to ensure that, or to see whether we are moving forward or moving backwards in terms of delivering that program. For example, the first KPI, we're looking at the satisfaction scores achieved for each of the employees, which is a survey that tracks up in terms of the pulse of that organization. Also looking at things such as the vacancy percentage of our currently available vacant position within the organization. We want to make sure that we minimize and make sure that people are employed for all the positions that are available within the organization. The second one that we also track is the business enablement program. Basically, in here, what we're trying to achieve is just to enhance that collaboration that exists within the stakeholders, because we know and understand that in order to deliver the 5 in 5, we can't do it alone as South African Tourism. It is important to bring all the stakeholders that are involved within the tourism sector. And to measure ourselves, we've got a survey in there that we're doing. It's called the Stakeholder Satisfaction Survey, which is basically sent to all our stakeholders just to give us feedback if the way we're doing things, the way we're conducting our business is up to what they expect out of us. Other measures that we're looking at the leisure tourism marketing. The critical thing in the work that we do, we want to contribute positively into the economy of the country. And for us to do that, the key measures that we're using, we're tracking the tourist arrival, we're doing the tourist trips, that is the trips taken by the South Africans within South Africa, how much money has been generated out of those trips that are created, and looking at the aspect of the geographic spread, because delivering 5 in 5 by just bringing the numbers, by not ensuring that each and every province benefits out of tourism, it would be a futile exercise. So we make sure and we hold ourselves responsible that we make sure that the trips, the people that we get are fairly distributed across the 9 provinces of the country. And also looking at the issue of seasonality as well, to make sure that we're not only bringing people into the country during peak hours, because we want to contribute into sustainable jobs. Because if we only bring people within during peaks of the year, that would mean there will be periods when people are unemployed within the country. And also looking at things of building that brand of brand awareness, making sure that most people are aware as much as we can about South Africa as a leisure destination and also as a business destination. And also not just being aware, but also what's critical is them being positive about us as a country. The other program that we work on is looking at business events, to look in terms of how many business events can we host as a destination, and also out of those events, make sure that we boost the delegates as much as we can, because most of the time we don't only want people to come, only those attending the event itself, but we want people to bring out their spouse and make sure they consume the attractions within the tourism space. Another important program is that of the tourism experience, which is like brand experience, normally known as a grading council, but we want to change that, because what we want at the end is want the tourists that come, the experience that they experience in the country, it must be so good such that they can go back and be our key advocates of the destination. So basically we've got key KPIs that we are measuring ourselves in all those programs, just to make sure that we are moving towards the right direction or not. If you go on to the next page, just now getting into details in terms of what are the actual targets that we've set ourselves on in each of those programs. We've got a target of 3.4 for the first score, which is basically the satisfaction score. Basically, that score is the score of 1 out of 1 to 5. So how do people feel about working for the organization? So in here we say if we can get to a score of 3.4 out of 5, it would be a good indication on 2018 that at least we are progressing to the right direction. And if you look in terms of the percentage vacancy rate maintained, we want to make sure that we keep it below 7% to make sure that all of the positions that are within the organization, it should be less than 7% that are filled in any given point in time. And also want to make sure that we comply with our Employment Equity Act, basically making sure at each and every level of the organization we've got a fair representation of who is employed and according to the right race and gender as stipulated by the Equity Act. We also want to make sure that we have an unqualified report audit achieved for each and every year. And also triple BE levels go achieved for every year. We want to achieve that of level 4. When it comes to stakeholder satisfaction, which is on the next page, we want to have a score that we are aiming at 4.1. It's unfortunate that most of these measures, we have loved to track them on a quarterly basis, but the manner in which we collect the information, we can't, but it has to turn up to be more of annual measures as opposed to quarterly measures. Now, if we get on to page 26 now, and we are looking at the measures for measuring the impact of our leisure tourism marketing activities, what are we doing as an organization? These targets that we set are coming out of a very robust econometric model that has been developed by Oxford Economics. Oxford Economics, and we were once here to come and present how the actually model works. So what it says and what it sees is that for 2018-19, we want to bring 11.2 million tourists in South Africa for this financial year. And maybe just not to drive any confusion, we're putting in two numbers in the financial year number and the calendar year number. It has been requested out of us to say, let's bring, we need to start reporting on the financial year number. So for perspective, we put at them both so that we don't seem like confusing the members in terms of us showing and seeing different numbers. So the numbers that I'm going to focus on, we're on page 26. And on the first line. So for 2018-19, as I said, 11.2 million tourist arrivals that we're expecting. And if you look at that in terms of what we've achieved in 2017, we achieved 10.3. So we're looking at a growth of around 7% of that, which is a very aggressive target. I think as Stella has mentioned that the targets that we are working on are audacious targets, because we set those up ourselves. Because if you look at normal projections from the econometric model, it doesn't show that we can get into that. But because of the inefficiencies and better collaboration that we are foreseeing going forward, we think we can do, we can stretch ourselves and do more. And the equivalent expenditure or revenue that we're going to receive from those 11.2 million international tourists, we're expecting 81.3 billion rand. And it would be also 7.4% increase relatively to where we are in 2017. And in terms of the percentage of the geographic spread, we want to make sure that the people that we get, at least 19% of them, goes to more than one province at a given time. So that's what that 19% all is. And if you look in terms of seasonality, the seasonality score, we want to maintain our seasonality score at 1.35. Basically, what this number is that South Africa overall, when you look at it at the face value, we don't seem to have a seasonality problem, because if you've got 1.4% as a seasonality on a score of 1 to 100, so the more this number is closer to zero, it means that you've got a perfect seasonality. But I understand the challenge that we are facing as a country is that the people that consume the tourism-related products like your hotels, they only come only during certain periods of the year. But we still do get people coming from the neighboring countries. That's why overall the seasonality looks like a very good. So the underlying factor that needs to be addressed is not only the number that needs to be improved, but the structural in terms of when do we bring the people within the country. And if you look in terms of the brand positivity, basically we're looking at those who are aware of South Africa and those that we want them to be positive about the country. The target is that 39% of them, that's what we are aiming for. And the overall awareness level that we are aiming for is that throughout the entire world, we want 78% of the people to be aware of South Africa as a leisure destination in the markets in which we focus on. Still continuing on page 27, now there are the numbers for more on the international side of travel, but if you look in terms of the domestic trips, now what we want to achieve in 2018-19, we want to achieve 25.4 million trips in this year, that is overall. And if you look in terms of the holiday trips, we want to increase the holiday trips from the 2.9 that we achieved in 2017 to increase that to 3.1 million trips, which is also a very good increase because we're looking at the increase of around 6.9%. And the overall revenue that is going to be generated from South Africans traveling within South Africa overall, we're looking at 26.7
26.7 billion rand, 7.5% increase. And if you look in terms of those expenditure generated from holiday-related trips, it would be 8.2 billion rand. With a geographic spread of around 12%, that is again talking to the same fact that out of those that are taking a trip, 12% must take a trip to more than one province in a given time. And the seasonality index in here for domestic is very bad, sitting at 20%. And we, as I said in the initial slide, that this number would look good as long as it gets closer to zero. So in here it's very big. What you've seen and noticed in the manner in which the South Africans travel, they travel almost at the same time as your international tourists. So they choose to travel during peak travel season. So which going to be a challenge, I think, that we're always going to face, because at that time the pricing of the tourism related activities is going to be very expensive, and for them, and as an established owner trying, I would rather accommodate a much more higher spending tourist than a less spending tourist. So it's going to be a challenge in terms of how we drive and balance the seasonality very well when it comes to domestic. When it comes to SME development, and we want to make sure that there's a very good and an improvement in attendance of the SME in our trade shows that we do. These are three shows that we do in South Africa, and also trade shows that we participate into the overseas countries. So what we are saying in here, we want to increase the number of those SMEs to 182, so which also drives the fact that we really want to transform the economy and making sure that our SMEs that are in the country are getting the necessary exposure that they need. And also, Stan mentioned the fact that we also including them into our hosting activities by working through the provinces, because when we bring in host trade partners from overseas countries, we make sure that the provinces direct us to the key SMEs that we can use and being part of those activities. We're starting at a very low number for now, it's around 25, but as time goes on and we get better on this, we're hoping to improve. One of the other critical elements and what drives numbers into the country is the number of business events that we host at the destination. And for 2018-19, we want to host 153 events overall for 2018-19. And the base that we'll be coming from, remember we said there's a target of 145 that we set it ourselves in 2017. So we're operating on the base that we will achieve that 145 and increase that to 153 total number of events. But most importantly is also not only the number of events, but the number of delegates that attend those events. We need to increase that to 86,000 from 81%. That is around about 6.2% growth from the 2017 figure. And also the number of bids that we support. In 2017, we supported 82 bids, but for 2018-19, we want to increase that to 105 in the number of bids that we support. And last but not least, when it comes to business event, the revenue that we generate from Indaba and Meeting Africa, we also want to increase the money that we got in there to around about 67 million rand. My last slide now, I'm going to talk about how do we measure ourselves and the targets we've got on the tourist experience, which is basically on the grading side of things, as I mentioned before, is that we want to increase the number of graded accommodation establishments to around about 6,529. I think what we've achieved in 2017 was around That's a target, and 6229 is the target what we want to get to. The number of graded rooms is going to be 135,262. And the revenue that we're going to generate out of that, we're expecting to receive a revenue of around 22.6 million rands.
Those are the key targets that we've set it up ourselves on as an organization, and as I mentioned earlier on, that they are very aggressive targets, they are very stretched, they are very audacious, and I'm holding the organization accountable and ensuring that we deliver against them. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. I will present the budget. I will start on slide 32. It's a pie chart just to give a kind of, just from a start, what's the spread of our revenue streams. Government, the biggest funder, is 83%. I just want also to add to this 83% that in terms of the efficiency cuts from Parliament, we also did not miss that. We had an efficiency cut of 8.4 million rand in the next 3 years. So that's included in there. And also there was a shifting of domestic funding for the domestic tourism facilitation of 16.7 million rand back to the department. So the old 100 million rand that we always talked about has now lowered to 195 million rand, and the other 5 million rand is back to the department for the facilitation, domestic facilitation process. That also we make provision for that, or that is excluded from this amount. TOMSA levies, 9%. I will talk to that a bit later. Also included in that, I have explained in the quarterly reports that as part of the TOMSA levies that is coming to us, 15% of that amount is for a collaborative fund between business, TOMSA, who represent business, and South African tourism. So included in that amount of the 9% is then also the collaborative fund. Grading fees, 2%. I must say, although the grading fees, the grading statements look like they're going down. The fees is still 2%. Remember, there is a program supported by the department of the TIP, the Tourism Investment Program, where we fund comply with the criteria, 80%. And if you're TOMSA, TOMSA levy collector, you qualify for 90% subsidies to be subsidized in terms of that. So I think that's also, if you look at it, kind of the increase in the establishment at the end of the year, it picked up quite well right at the end of the year in terms of the subsidies. Salary revenue is 1%, and as I've always said, is that we're getting our funds to mitigate the risk of currency exposures upfront for all the marketing money. We get it upfront from the National Treasury, and we must apply every year for that funding, and that is the interest that we, most of that is the interest that we accrue from that revenue. If we turn over to page 33, this is a different amounts. If I can focus on the 18-19, 19-20, 20-21 budgets for the different revenue streams, the average increase is about 5.3% over the years, so we work hard on that also to make sure that we get the money. So government is contributing 1.208 billion rand for this current this current financial year, 1.271 and 1340 in the last year. TOMSA levies is a general increase from their side that indicated 5%. We must take it on 5% increase every year. So there will be then also, we hope that they will bring more TOMSA collectors to the party, and that they also contribute more to the TOMSA levy contributors. And that mostly, I think, the amounts of 82% of 85% come from the hotel industry. So the focus, the most of the money come from that. I do not have the exact amount of the 82%, but most of the money is coming from the hotel environment. 21 million of the 100, just to give you the perspective in terms of the collaborative fund, the 130 million rand is a full amount that they transfer to us. 21 million rand of that is the collaborative fund for 2018-19. So it's quite a huge amount that will go for the collaborative fund, where South African tourism and the industry through the TOMSA board will decide which projects to invest that money. But that is kind of driven by the industry to support. In Indaba Meetings Africa is 57 million rand. We're getting it right. I think we are now this year for the first time in a position where we can really, 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 from our audited figures, explain or quantify those amounts that were increased. I also saw that Wavela presented 67 million rand, but that's the audacious target. We also try to release more money through all of these other exhibitions. Grading fees, I think that is based on target the audited figures. We have worked from the audited figures, and we have kind of put those amounts in there for the grading fees. And salary revenue is 21 million rand, which is most of that is in the security because we get the money up front. So the total budget for the 2018-19 year for the APP is 1.439 billion rand that we receive from the for South African Tourism to execute our mandate. I just want to perhaps also, just as a matter of interest, that we also trying to leverage more funding. I don't know, there's also, we have mentioned the JMA, joint management agreements with the private sector, especially in the foreign countries, and where we leverage about 72 million rand. Some of them in kind, some of them in an actual value. So we also try to leverage more money from all other avenues to kind of support our budget. If I turn over to the expenditure side, and that is done in terms of the five programs as approved by the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation. For corporate support, that's 132 million rand for the 2018-19 financial year. Business enablement, 85.9 million rand. I do not, just to remind the members again, during the ministerial report, that was a huge focus, and we, the minister, has indicated that we need to, when he was appointed to Hanekom the first time, there must be more focus on the research environment. So we've invested quite much more money in the research environment. Leisure tourism marketing is 1.045 billion rand, about just over 700 million rand of that will be transferred in the next week to the foreign countries to mitigate the risk. As you know, the currency exposure is not that huge, and I think the rand is strengthened a bit. But over time on average, and over 700 million rand will be transferred to the different countries in the next week. The business events, 119 million rand for business events. I just want to remind the members also, the honorable members, that included in the 2018 is the 50 million rand, which is earmarked for the subvention fund. Last year we've received 90 million rand for subvention fund, 20 million rand for 17-18, 30 million rand for 18-19, 19-20 we've received 40, and then 2021 they just gave us inflation increase to take us to 42 million rand. But that green-based money, we cannot use that for anything else than subvention for the business events. So that's the only ring-fence money that we have from the National Treasury. Business experience for 2018-19 year, 65.8 million rand. So that balances back to the revenue, 1.439 billion rand for South African tourism. I think if we go to the last slide, that slide is it's a bit different than the one that we normally present to the quarterly reports, because the quarterly reports, it was a request from the committee that we do it by program, the classification. But in terms of the E&E document, which is part of our APP, the E&E document template designed by the Treasury does not make provision for the different programs, and it only makes provision for the entire estate tourism, and that's why I report in that fashion in this meeting. If there's a requirement that we need to report by program in future, we can do that because we are doing that in the quarterly reports in any event. So we do that in any event. So if I look at salaries, I think the big thing here is that our money is going for where it's supposed to go to. Our target is 70% for marketing, 30% for overheads. So 15% with the new infrastructure of the Ignite program and the restructuring of South African tourism. Our cost for employee cost is 15%, and that also includes our social contributions, which is the pension, medical, and contributions that we are contributing to. I think if we look at a breakdown, the agency support and outsourced services, agency and support, so agencies is the our lead agency, quite a lot of money kind of transferred to the agency to get activities to be executed. and to support us in terms of program one, which is the legal fees, finance, personnel, and all of those is included in that program. Communication is our internal communication, it's a small amount. Computer services, and I think the research and development is the licensing of those different systems that we are using for that. Consultants, consultants 25 million rand, and the biggest amount of demand for that is for IT consultants, which we make use of. I must say with the Ignite, we are reducing that quite a bit, of quite a huge amount, because we've appointed permanent people who can do the work for us, and we will reduce the consulting cost in future also. And that is also for the enablement program two, for the research where we use some of the consultants. But that also, in terms of the Ignite process, the board has guided us and directed us to reduce the cost of the consultants and appoint people who can do it for professional people who can do it for much less. The lease payments is our buildings across the world, which we pay for the buildings, for our lease payments. Repairs and maintenance, I think this is state tax, the most of this is state tax, and also the, I wrote it down, space planning, the space planning with the new restructuring organization. So it's quite a huge amount. But I must say, although it looks like 82 million rand is a lot of money, what we have tried to do since cost containment was implemented in 2013, we've tried to extend the life cycles of all of these assets. So remember, some of these assets is in different currencies, so in rand value it will look like a huge amount, but we have now really extended most of those assets to 2 to 3 years in terms of their life cycles. So there will be a point where we will have to replace them, and we will have to phase that in kind of gradually to make sure that we do not lose money through that. Training and staff development is 1.8 million rand. Travel assistance, as you know, we're a tourist organization, is 27.9 million rand. And then the others, that is in all programs, that's the NCB, that which includes the Indaba, and Meetings Africa, the grading, and then domestic tourism, and also the normal marketing, not the, foreign, the normal marketing of South African tourism. I think that also adds up to 4.39 million rand, billion rand for South African tourism, and we will be through, as we reported to the quarterly reports, that we will not exceed 70-30. In fact, I think last year we were 22% for overheads and 88% for marketing. Sorry? 78. Not 88. Yeah, you're right. Thank you. No, you're right. I made a mistake. But you see, but I think our biggest effort is not for personnel and overheads. Our biggest focus is to put the money into things. Chair, the last page, page 36, is the currencies that we use. The budget, we must have it as a kind of our budget currency. The Treasury advises us to, they only give us the US dollars, it's strange. We've asked them how can we get more, how do we get other currency from, to make, to use it as a budget kind of, in our budget, to convert it in our budget. Their advice was we need to make, to go to the different banks. We've done it for the different banks, and that's the average of the different banks. So there's not a big difference between the different banks. But from a Treasury side, we only get a US dollar currency from a, from a national treasury. So that is the budget rights. I must say we're kind of conservative if you look at that, and there will be gains before we transfer the funds to the different countries. And we call that spot rate versus budget rate. So the spot rate at the moment is much less of our favour in terms of the different countries to transfer the funds. Chair, honourable members, that is the budget. That will support the resources, that will financial resources, that will support our IDP for the 2018-19 financial year.
Thank you, Chair. Before I hand over to the Chair just to make the last comments, I thought maybe we need to also give context to the TOMSA Collaborative Fund. I think in future what we could do is we could include a slide which updates the committee on some of the projects that are funded out of this collaborative fund. The Chair of the Board spoke about the WaterWise roadshow that the CEO undertook last couple of months. That kind of a project was is a typical project that will be funded out of the collaborative fund with TOMSA, and it gets approved by the board of TOMSA as well as SA Tourism. Some other projects that have been identified in that TOMSA collaborative fund are around safety and security. This committee that has now been set will come up with initiatives that will be funded, and it's just to take forward the work that was started by the previous minister when they she launched the safety net project at Vilakazi Street. So those are the things that would be enhanced through this collaborative fund. The other area that would be funded out of this is the airlift part. I think there was an agreement in the meeting that the minister called with private sector and SA Tourism that we need to start in the continent, in the rest of the continent. We know Nigeria is a key focus area for us. We know Nigeria is one of the biggest economies, but we don't have airlift, proper airlift. So the committee would now look at what are some of the initiatives, and this collaborative fund will then look at that. The other area that was agreed in that meeting to be funded out of this is adventure tourism. It was meant, private sector said, this is an area, this is, and I know that Honorable Foster says it all the time around, how do we then establish this niche tourism of adventure? And we know that some of our biggest markets, such as USA, that are looking for adventure. Australia is looking for adventure. So private sector led committee will now come up with issues around standards, how do we regularize it, how do we now make sure that there's quality, issues of safety and security around this adventure tourism. So there is a committee that has been set, and this funding will come out of the collaborative fund. Lastly is around domestic. There is a committee that was set there to look at what are the long-term initiatives to grow domestic. Whilst SA Tourism is now doing the demand work, conversion work, there's work that we would need to do to look at domestic from a long-term point of view. And a collaborative fund, a portion of it will fund this project. So I think when we now report on a quarterly basis, we can bring the committee up to speed around some of the projects in the collaborative fund. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I was also
going to just say that at the beginning of this cycle of this board, we had engagements with the private sector. The private sector had grown TOMSA from like a 25 million rand fund about 10, 15 years ago to an over 100 million rand fund, of which majority of it came to SA Tourism, and they wanted to discuss maybe having a little bit more say in a portion of how that fund is used, and we didn't think there was anything wrong with that, and so we produced an MOU with them to say we can do a portion of that fund, because it's all voluntary, a portion of that fund we could set aside for special projects, and I think that we should see those projects as part of something that we report to this committee on, because you admit you can't see it below your parapets to see, and some of the issues and questions that you raise should drive the agenda of that fund, actually, because they are odd things which might not quite be in our budget or our ability to do, but they can be done jointly with the private sector. So that's what I was going to say about the collaborative fund. I think it's really worth you in asking them to come and to say what is their thrust, what is their approach, how do they make their decisions, how much money they use, and what sort of success they have. So thank you very much, Chair. I think that concludes from SA Tourism's side what we wanted to say. Again, thank you very much for inviting us to make this presentation.
Thank you, Tim, South African Tourism. Honourable Member, we have an hour to engage. Can we stick to that hour so that we can maximize it to the best of our abilities. I will start over on our combo. Can I take a few times so that I note everybody and then we speak in sequence? It's Honorable Cromwell, it's Honorable Bewa, then Honorable Bam, Honorable Adams, Honorable Sports and Honourable Mahabishana in that sequence. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'd like to refer to five of the pages, just ask a few questions by way of comparison. The first one's on page 9, and that is our international tourist arrival. Okay? And I'm looking at the growth over a three-year period from 2014 to 2017. If you work that out, that comes to an average of about 2.7% per year over 3 years. Your CAGR measurement that you use. And my question there is, how does that compare to world economic growth? And if we are behind that figure, if we're not matching up to world tourism, international arrival growth, then what would be the reasons that would account for that difference? That's the first question. Then the next one is on page 11, on page 10 and 11 really. Just by way of noting, you've got New Zealand as being part of Australasia in South Island, and in North Island they're part of Africa, just that you know. I don't know if that's all the South Africans living in Wellington, but they might not appreciate being made part of Africa, so perhaps you can make them the whole country part of Australasia. But on page 11, you referred in your address as well, or your presentation, to the safety and security issues. In fact, I think the chair did in her opening remarks. And what you said there tells us there's something of the intent, but there's very little in the way of outcome. So you referred to there's a task team that's been convened, including Department of Tourism and Industry, to develop a work stream. Well, yeah. What actually is happening? Has this committee met? When can we expect concrete recommendations from them? Do you have any idea yet of the nature of their recommendations? When will we have a report to this committee? Because I think the chair was quite right to refer to the numerous incidents that have occurred recently, and we know with the electronic age and TripAdvisor that these things can spin out of control, even unfairly so. When there was an Ebola crisis in West Africa, people thought South Africa was part of that, and it affected our international arrivals. But can we have some more concrete information about that rather than the rather fuzzy mother and apple pie paragraph that exists there? Then in the middle, just to know on your first bullet, I don't think you meant to say wavering visas. Sounds like the visas are flapping in the wind there. I think you meant waving, which is a different spelling. But what does actually stand out quite markedly is just how much damage these visa regulations cause. Because when you say that in Russia, it increased by 51%, the arrival, it tells you that there was a very big decline in order to get that recovery. Do you have any idea just how much damage was done? Has it ever been quantified? Do we have, for example, an economic model or a case study? I would imagine the Department of Tourism, or SAT in particular, would have commissioned a paper on it which looks at the economic effects, including various statistics, including number of arrivals affected, number of rands lost, number of jobs that weren't created as a result, so that we can archive that, be part of our legacy handover to the next committee. And so that if anyone had to go and consider these kind of stringent visa regulations in the future, one would have a fresh, well-researched, quantitative study which would assist us in actually developing policy and perhaps preventing us from a similar disaster. So has that study been done? If not, why not? Because I think it's incumbent upon this entity to actually produce exactly that. It goes to your core function, not just about growing tourists, but also to protect the number of tourists we have. Then my third out of five is on page 15. The decline in domestic tourism, that continues to be a very worrying statistic. You quote a loss of 29.3% in the number of trips. What is strange, and it's not the first time we've seen this, is that there's been, although there are less trips and less amount, less spent in total of that which is still happening, there's a very big increase. And to actually spend nearly 20% more in our low growth scenario means that some people aren't traveling at all, and other people are spending very strongly on the shorter trips, right, that they do take. And I was wondering if there was any fresh information compared to the last time this question was put to SAT. Because it does seem as if tourism, in this particular aspect, very superficially and impressionistically, is becoming a market or a playground for the rich. There's less people traveling, but those that are traveling are spending a heck of a lot more. I mean, triple or quadruple above nominal inflation rates. Something is happening there, and I hope you can give me some insight as to what's going on. But on page 15, you've identified strategic projects which could improve domestic tourism performance, and we've been talking about that for some time. What is a little bit concerning about this particular slide, which I read at the time and then I followed closely when you were presenting it, is that it doesn't actually say what the strategic projects are or what the interventions are going to be. What it actually says, what it actually does, more to the point, it identifies various needs. It says it is important to understand the role that VR visitors play. This is likely to require deep dives, this time I've heard that expression, on existing data sources, exploration of new data sources. There's a need to pool the campaign level data, create cost per click and other metrics to enable comparability. It's almost impenetrable jargon, but in simple English, what you've done is you've identified what needs to be done. You haven't actually done what needs to be done. You just told us what you think has to happen in order to understand this market. You're also asking for clarity in terms of stakeholders, which is a frightening thing to hear, that only now we lack clarity from the stakeholders in this market has been declining for a number of years. So I would like to get an impression of why it's taken so long to actually even identify the things we need to identify. And when are we going to actually be able to get, firstly, the right data to analyze and then to do the analysis and then come up with really well-researched quantitative models that can help inform this committee and SAT as to what we're going to do to actually turn domestic tourism around? Because I was hoping to see what you had identified and how you were going to change it. What you've simply done is to say, we have to look at this, we have to look at that, and we don't have the clarity, we don't have the data, which is a bit scary because lots of jobs have been lost in the process. All right, then, going to page 33 or slide 33. Again, the grading fee is part of your income stream of 1.439 billion. And it's about 1.5% of your total income stream. Okay, not a big driver of what you're doing. On a previous slide or two, there are stats about the number of graded establishments falling. I've heard that many times. And one of the reasons you give is that people don't see the need, they don't see the benefit of being graded. I've yet to meet people who will not take something even if they don't see the benefit if it's free. And hence, we've always argued on this committee that grading should not be, it should be compulsory, but you shouldn't have to pay for it. It should be a service provided by, support service provided by SAT to make sure that everything is graded. There's no illegal or improper use of the star grading system. If we protect our brand, we insulate ourselves on social media against people taking a chance, we give tourists and potential customers better information. And the way to do that is to have no cost to the industry, but a capacity by the department. So I'm disappointed still to see this in here. I would have thought by now you would have said this is a cost we need to absorb so we get more people on the grid, so to speak, and protect our brand positivity in terms of good tourist experiences. I don't think they're going to a 5-star hotel and they're getting a 2-star experience or whatever. Can you give us some idea where the thinking is on that? Because 2 years ago, in this room across here, 315, the leading industry role player told us that it was the thinking that it should be phased out in terms of the compulsory nature of it, and that indeed it would be phased out and we'd have a free service where everybody would be obliged to be part of. Where are we on that one at the moment? Now the last point is on 34. So you've broken down how you're spending your 1.439 billion, and that continues by, what did you call it, by economic classification on page 35. My understanding is on the numerous oversight trips that we did, we first looked at a lot of CSI projects, and then more recently we looked at the Working for Tourism projects. I think there were 32 of them, and 15 of them had come to a juddering halt. Obviously there's some budget input, or maybe I'm wrong, hence the question, that comes from the department. I take it none of it comes from SAT. None. Okay, so that answers that question. So I just wondered where that's been picked up. So you don't have anything to do with those projects. That's a straight departmental funding, which, and you only obviously have part of the department. Okay, so that answers my fifth point, but I'd like clarity on the other four. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, let me just appreciate the presentation from the SAT. Chair, the issue of the one that you mentioned in your introduction of the CEO not attending the meeting. I can understand the colleagues, they try to explain, but I think that is the message that should go to him, say that they are not happy. This is the second time. And the work of this SAT should be prioritized. We understand your explanation, but that message must go to him, because I think the priority is there. Chair, let me just say some of the issues that has been raised here. I think Honorable Kumbo can just help with it, especially in the area of domestic tourism. You see, Chair, the Chair said we are on the transformation agenda, of which is important, is in line with our policy. But when you spoke to a transformation agenda and your programs, it doesn't include the pro-poor agenda, it becomes a problem. To me, I'm just looking at this presentation and I'm looking at it and I say, what is it that is pro-poor here when you're talking about the transformation agenda? The programs, especially the domestic tourism, there are no programs. And we've been saying this for a long time, that our people, especially those that are poor, let's bring them to the mainstream of the economy. Let's create programs that will assist them, see themselves as part of this tourism family. But there's nothing yet, as the Honorable Kumbek has said, there's nothing saying, you're still looking for it. It doesn't tell me that you are serious about creating economy when it comes to tourism, especially in the rural areas where poor people are. There are no programs here. And I'm afraid it might, you see now, we are at the last of our term, fifth term. But there's nothing that is saying, what are we doing? What is the plan? What is our plan in terms of domestic tourism? I said I must raise this one sharply because it always worried me. The last one, Chair, a consultant. People, we've been talking about this issue for a long time. Why are you still paying so much to the consultant? What is it that you are doing with the consultant? Who's benefiting in this issue of the consultant? Because we said, let's do away with this. Because we're spending a lot of money on the consultant. But you come back again, he says, no, we are going to cut off the consultant's money, but you are still saying this is the figure that you've been paying to the consultant. I think here what I'm hearing here, we've got their ongoing problems, and it seems as if you are not prepared to solve them. The other thing that you are doing, we just come with another version. It says, no, we are going to do this, we are going to do this. In the issue of domestic tourism, we will say create the programs that will assist our people. But there's nothing here. Chair, I think, let me just stop there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I shall also join in to appreciate the presentation by SAT. First of all, well, some of the things have been addressed, but coming from rural Eastern Cape, I think it cannot be overemphasized to talk about the lack of focus onto the development of the rural communities so that they also come out and be in the mainstream or at least smell tourism products. First of all, the rural people don't know much about what is going on in tourism. Even in your presentation, you haven't stated, and maybe it is included in the domestic tourism report, you have said nothing about rural tourism, and yet where we come from, there are a lot of people who are coming from all over speaking strange languages, who come to the rural areas wanting to spend some time in the rural areas. And also the people in the rural areas cannot sometimes upgrade their establishments because of lack of funds. In the slide that has got provision for the government grant, I don't know, maybe I'm going to throw the meeting into reverse gear because I don't know how your grant is structured and how do people access the grant facilities. But I always find that the departments are very skeptical and very stingy towards helping the rural communities or especially the poor people into accessing government grants. And as a result, you find that the grants are always sent back to the department because of lack of distribution to the people that want them. And people who apply for grants, they never get any replies, they never get any way forward from both the departments and SA Tourism. Maybe they are sending them to the wrong offices, I don't know. Maybe then I will be able to, once this question is answered, I'll be in a position to inform the people from where I come from. Also, the question about the problem with Home Affairs, that also is another very destructive element of against tourism, because a lot of stories have been sent all over the place about the disappointments and the embarrassments the tourists suffer because of the lack of understanding with the tourism, with the Home Affairs people at points of entry. Others, I mean, people have spent a lot of money, but there is lack of even common sense from the people that are at the immigration offices. Maybe some kind of training is needed for those people to at least use common sense. I don't know which school teaches common sense, but at least the people must be understanding as to what is happening. And also the monies that people spend, when they are going to be sent back, really it is very tragic. I don't say people should not be, should not comply, but there are certain stories whereby you see that this was just mere prejudice and mere arrogance and so on of the immigration officer. Coming also to the statistics on hotel contributions, does this statistic include the B&Bs as well, because you have only talked about hotel contributions. I don't know whether this includes B&Bs. It would be nice to know, because there are a lot of B&Bs that are springing up all over the place. They actually outnumber the number of hotels in any given town. So maybe you have included the statistics with the hotel contributions. I think so far so good, because some of the things have been addressed. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the committee for the presentation. I would just like to make one or two observations with regard to with regard to the SAT representation here. I'm Afrikaans speaking, but I know I can't speak in Afrikaans here. The first one is, Jefferson, have you noticed the size of the delegation? I'm not into quantity. I'm into quality, but it struck me, and I made a comment to Mr. Honorable Voss, how small the presentation is here, and that we only have the CEO, no, not the CEO, COO, and the CFO, and the chairperson of the board, and I didn't catch the...
Need a research.
Yeah. Anyway, it struck me. The other thing I want to comment on is the chairperson made a few very important remarks. And I, in my personal capacity, would have loved that, to have included something into this. Because you see, we have to do the digital art and everything. And as an outgoing chairperson, we could have used that as a baseline for the incoming, if it isn't she, for the incoming chairperson and for SAT in the future. That's the comments I wanted to make. And then to the CFO, I don't want to ask financial questions. I just want to know the 1% VAT added, what do you think will be the effect on SAT's economic viability? The second question I want to ask you, leasing. From whom are you doing the leasing? Is it from Public Works? The other question is on repairs and maintenance. Why is it so high when you are leasing? Then, Chairperson, on slide 6, the five in five has been in operation for 1 year. Am I correct? Mm. Now, I know it's only 1 year. 2 years. Outcomes. What is your... how do you monitor it? How is your relationship? I know you have a relationship with your provincial, with the provincial authorities. But are you satisfied with the way 5 in 5 is driven in the provinces? Because, Jefferson, tourism is a local business. And if they are not convinced, nothing will help. Then, Jefferson, on slide 8, on the estimated holiday, domestic holidays, you said there were declining numbers in, that is on slide 8, in May, August, and December. Now, it intrigues me why there is in December decrease in the number of domestic holiday trips. And why these specific months? Because in May we have public holidays, as in August we have public holidays. Then the last one, Chair, I want to ask that member a question. On slide 14, you name the investment in the marketing campaigns to stimulate holiday travel seems to have yielded positive results. Am I correct to say you have two parallel programs, nothing more fun than short left? A million new experiences are in a short left away in 16 and 17. Do you have two parallel driving programs? And then the very last one is on the program one support, corporate support, Chairperson. The presenter said the annual target is 3.4 out of a possible scale of 5. Don't you think that is too high? You see, one must always progress, and you can't set your target too high. The same is with the stakeholder satisfaction score achieved. You set a target of 4.1 out of 5. It is my personal view, Chairperson, that is too high. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I would like to ask, what is the relationship between SAT and our, for example, like your tourism authorities within cities? Now, I know that you have to work with your provincial counterparts, but if you look at your domestic tourism landscape, people don't visit provinces, they visit destinations or regions. And so it would make sense for me to SAT to rather enter into partnerships or shared marketing platforms with cities or towns instead of trying to work through your provincial counterparts. And I know the board chair said that one of the forward-thinking strategies would be to work with your counterparts on the provincial level, the chairpersons and the board members, etc. But for example, the Cape Town Tourism has just entered into an agreement with New York Tourism. It's a city-to-city agreement. It makes absolute sense to work with destinations instead of trying to work through another bureaucratic level, which is a provincial board perhaps, but rather to look at destinations. And I want to use the example of homestays. The past weekend I had the privilege to officially open a new homestay in a town called Goed Verwacht, which is in the Bergrivier municipality of the West Coast District. And it's a small little Moravian mission dating back to the 1800s. So with the assistance of Aban Africa Travel and also the West Coast Tourism Authority, we trained the homeowners in that village or town in the homestay concept. And so 25 houses have now been converted into successful homestays. So there's an amazing domestic tourism opportunity. So how would SAT work with those type of experiences with those destinations? Because I think that's a way to boost domestic tourism. Because we can't always promote Cape Town, Johannesburg, Durban, because we're promoting the same thing over and over. We need to find new experiences, new things for people to excite them. And at the same time, because it addresses the affordability barrier and it addresses your limited geographic barrier. So I just want to put that out there. I really think that there would be much benefit for SAT to look into going, sharing marketing platforms with destinations around experiences, etc. And it also comes to the issue of rural tourism, as mentioned earlier on. Then I want to speak to the issue of the visas. There was a survey done earlier this year. My colleague asked if there was a survey, but it's a survey done by the private industry called Travel Start. So they did a survey looking at February until March this year, what the impact was, and have come to the conclusion, and I quote, the cost to acquire an abridged birth certificate outweighs the desire to visit South Africa. That's a striking revelation, and that is absolutely the truth, because we've seen the decline and then this slow growth, and if you compare to the period before the implementation. So it's not your fault, but so certainly there's been surveys done, and another important revelation was that one person that they interviewed said that she had to pay £200 to obtain an unabridged birth certificate, and she had to take 3 days leave from work to go through that process to obtain the necessary travel documentation. So what did she do at the end? She just cut South Africa from the itinerary and she selected another destination. I look at feedback now from the Airline Association of South Africa. They agree. There's still about double-digit figures of people being not granted permission to get onto a plane to come to South Africa. So they're sitting there with a lot of data that we can use to your benefit. Coming back also to the issue of crime, some of the members did raise it, but I want to ask, what does work stream mean? It says here that the industry needs to, this task team needs to develop a work stream that will effectively deal with tourism safety. So I just want to understand, what is a work stream? And then obviously other members have asked, what are the outcomes of this task team? What is their timelines? Because we're falling behind other countries in terms of people selecting because of safety, ease of travel, etc. So we really need to deal with this issue much faster than what we've seen at the moment. Because this committee, over a number of years, have raised the issue of crime and its impact on tourism. In fact, there was the issue of an American citizen attacked, attending a conference in South Africa, and soon after that, the American embassy said South Africa is a dangerous country, and that placed us on a list of countries to be aware of for safety reasons, etc. London has done the same, and Australia again. We've done extremely well in terms of our messaging around water, but I think we need to do the same now with safety, because it's one of the number one reasons. And I read a lot of these things, and the World Travel Organization, the United Nations World Travel Organization, also said that crime is the number one reason why people select a different country, and thereafter visas, etc., etc. So we need to do much more in our messaging around crime, and also, but not messaging, what are we really going to do about it, because it does certainly impact. Conversion, much has been said about conversion. The Cape Town, Johannesburg flight route rates amongst the 10 busiest in the world. And if you get on a BA or a SAA flight, it's loaded with government and business travelers. What are we doing to convert those travelers to become a leisure traveler so that we can boost our domestic tourism? So there's one area. The second area, obviously, is very concerning to note that we've dropped by 29% in domestic tourism. But then if you look at the different categories, then you'll come to some different conclusion. But altogether, it's not such a nice figure to talk about, because you want to see more South Africans travel. So the two barriers there was the affordability one and limited geographic spread. A lot has been said about airlifts. I'm not going to go into that area, but I would rather focus on affordability. And I've mentioned this before, and I want to please ask SAT to do much more in this space, because your local tourism authorities and destination marketing organizations are doing very good in this space by making local tourism more affordable by introducing campaigns for locals. The Table Mountain Cable Car has just introduced, from now until the end of this year, an amazing deal for South African citizens. Kids travel for free certain days of the week. South African citizens can travel for free, where it was only on the day of your birthday. So they've gone a few steps beyond that. The Zeitz Mokka Museum, the biggest African art contemporary museum here in the V&A, free entry for South African citizens on certain days of the week and so on. SAT, I think we need to play in that space, because you can double your figures, but we need to make it a campaigner. This five in five, it's confusing. let's go and talk about affordability and let's go and speak to the industry and make it more affordable. The opportunities exist. We've got some great examples, and I really want to see many more of those examples. Can't be in Cape Town only. There needs to be in Joburg, the Apartheid Museum, and many of these other important places, the villages in the Limpopos. There is a lot of opportunity there, so I want to see much more in that affordability category than what is currently happening, because that's the only way that you're going to boost. And then also conversion in leisure itself. So we spoke about adventure tourism, and the COO mentioned me by name there, but the one that I was always referring to was also conferencing, the MICE market. So what are you doing to convert people attending conferences and big expos to make sure that they do the post and pre-tour so that they go and spend their money in Kayamandi and Goops and all these places with World Travel Market just last week? What if we do as SA Tourism to ensure that all of those delegates go out and spend money and time in these locations around the V&A and the Table Mountains? So there's another conversion that I would like you to speak on. And then the last thing is TOMSA. I see that the committee secretariat flagged it as an issue in our notes, and I must agree with them on the TOMSA one in terms of the levy increase and what are we going to do to get more bang for our buck from the TOMSA levy. And there needs to be a discussion around TOMSA. It's like the grading council. We can't solve it here. There needs to be a much broader discussion on TOMSA, grading and so on. But I must say this is an issue that's been coming on for a long time. So perhaps there can be a one answer or a one liner as to what are the future thinking on TOMSA. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
And let me thank the FAC for the presentation. And my first question, it has been touched already, is about the domestic tourism, which has not been doing very well. Mine's just to check what strategies are we coming up with to ensure that we up the domestic tourism. I think the law costs for some time now that we have been querying this segment. The other issue is about the domestic holiday trips, where we estimate them at 2.9 million. How do we measure it? Is the way we measure it, is it really realistic? Or how do we come up with the numbers that we are having here? On slide number 9, we have an increase in 2017 of 2.4 versus 12.8 2016. What could have gone wrong in 2017 that the increase is so little compared to that one of 2016? And on slide number 10, you are talking of putting in place the plans for group traveling, and so especially in areas like Northern America and so on. What is our time frame for that? How far are you in putting up those group travels and so on? Because at times we take a long time not really coming up with the strategy, but just always saying, we are going to be doing this. And on the issue of the Home Affairs issues, their officials and so on, I think us as the committee, we need maybe to meet with the Home Affairs Committee somehow. Maybe with the CEO from Home Affairs, the CEO from our department, so that, the DGs from our department and that one, so that we can try and solve this problem. We have so many examples of things that are going wrong. They've been talking about them now, where people are just not really eager to assist people. Some people are turned away while they are already at the airport. They have to go back home.
and all those things. So I think we need to have a session where we can sit down and talk with these people, especially that even the president did in the Somna, did talk about tourism as one of the best drivers for creation of jobs, and also for upping our economy in the country. Maybe we should do that, because indeed it is not really something that can be done by SAT alone. We should also come in there. Grading, I think they did talk about it. How far are we in making it compulsory? And on grade, on slide number 24, going forward, I think it is important that in future we can just have a column on baseline. Because in most cases, when you read alone, you don't know what was happening before. But when you present, isn't that you are able to tell us this is what was happening the previous year. At times, they don't even show you, you've forgotten some of the figures. But if you can have a column that will say, this is our baseline, this is what was happening before, and this is what is happening right now, it will assist us a lot. The issue of consultants, they did talk about it. We are saying there are 26.7, we have 26.7% of unemployment, youths that are not employed. And some of them, they have the skills that we need from this consultant. 25 million that we are budgeting for a year. If it was for us hiring those skilled people who have just graduated, those youth who have just graduated with those skills that we need, instead of hiring the consultant, I'm sure we can save a lot, and we'll also be reducing the number of people who are unemployed. Please let's look at it. We've been talking about it ever since we came here in 2014. I think, Honorable Chair, that is all that I had. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Honorable Members. Can I add a few questions which goes to SAT? On slide number 10, which gives us a synopsis of each country or each region on how we are doing in terms of tourist arrival, I would have wanted a situation where the Nordic countries are also included in that space. You must remember you were specifically focusing on the Nordic countries. Perhaps in next time you need to zoom into the Nordic countries and tell us how have the investment that we've put on those countries, how are we getting the return on those investments. And then page 11, some of my colleagues have mentioned, but I would want us to, when we're reporting for the quarter, bring us work that is done around the issues of safety, specifically on the issues of safety. Because we have been talking about this for a very long time, and right now I think we would appreciate a briefing on this is what we are doing, instead of convening task team, because task team and work stream simply does not give us anything. But if we can get something that is tangible, that is done. And then I would rush quickly to page 28, where you made mention that you are taking about 25 SMMEs to events or to meetings, and perhaps we through the Office of the Secretary, can we get some of those SMMEs that you've taken, the 25? Because I want us to actually have a questionnaire where we are going to be able to interview them as a portfolio committee and see how have the investment on those SMMEs improved the operations of the SMME, whether they were able to get visitors into their establishment, and whether the return, there is return on the investment that we are doing. Perhaps it will be part of our oversight work, but if we get the information of all those 25 SMMEs, we'll be able to send, even if it's questionnaires, to say, tell us your experience when you visited these, what you call, countries, and whether it is beneficial for you to be taken to this event. And then I would hand over to you, South African Tourism, to give us responses on all that the members have raised. And over to you, but we are also... Okay, before that, I'll hand over to Kronborg and then Honorable Masihem.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I did not get... It's
no problem. You do, ladies first.
Go ahead. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I forgot to just follow on slide number 29, where at times it is as if we are just do not have time to do things properly. For example, we are talking of number one events that are supposed to be hosted in Africa, and we are talking about 153, and we don't spread them within the quota. They are all concentrated on the last quarter. How are we going to monitor ourselves as to whether we are getting there if we don't have anything that we have put in place for the first quarter, the second quarter, third quarter? Meaning that if on the first quarter we have not done anything, it will still be okay, because in our plans we said we are not going to be having anything in the first quarter. So I think it will be proper if we spread the events throughout, so that you are able to check yourself. If you said you'll be having four in the first quarter, by the time the first quarter ends, have we managed to have four? Or have we managed to have even more than four? Something like that, you are able to get yourself long before the end of the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of how we can not abuse taxpayers' money, because this is a very important portfolio, this is a very important report, but there are also a lot of penetrating questions from every single member of the committee. And we're going to be in the House in 6 or 7 minutes time. It's just not possible for them to give us comprehensive answers in that short time. I think we're shortchanging the taxpayers if we get superficial answers. We need these questions answered in depth with statistics, okay? I don't think it would be effective either for them to come back, because then they're going to incur flight costs which are unbudgeted, and that's what's going to waste money. So may I suggest through you, they have written down our questions, I'm quite sure, and made notes. Let the presenters from SAT confer. Can they give us written responses in detail with numbers for Jerry to circulate to us, so we can have a proper engagement, even if it's electronically?
Thanks, Honorable Kronborg, for that suggestion. I want to understand if members do agree to that approach that we follow. That out of the questions, what we have noted, all the questions, and then we say it's in a matter of by next week when we meet, we can actually go through the responses ourselves as a committee to see whether we are satisfied, and if there is a need for any follow-up based on the responses that would be given to us, and most probably they would have been emailed to us by the time we get to the meeting. If that's okay. Okay, the secretariat has informed me that they we need the responses before we actually get to our meeting next week. Let's say we say maybe most probably by Tuesday or Monday afternoon we have the responses as per the all the questions that have been written to us and have been raised by members. And then those responses would be emailed to us. So when we meet as a committee, we'll be able to sift through the responses and see whether we are satisfied with the responses or whether we need more clarity on the on the responses. Can I also just add one more question which I had omitted? It's around the issue of the, on page 19, around the issues of the graded establishment in the rooms. You've mentioned it. It's not an audited, what you call, presentation or stats figures that you have given us. Perhaps can I understand why are you giving us if it's not something that you say these are not audited? And then also, you mentioned that you the grading the graded rooms or establishments are these figures. When are we going to have an audit of graded and ungraded establishments so that we see how big is the backlog in terms of grading establishments, so that we can perhaps maybe have a situation where we are going to have a strategy on how we are going to phase in even those that are not graded over a longer period, so that we ultimately say we need all graded, we need establishments graded. You know, it becomes a compliance, what you call, measure. And with that note, honorable members, I would excuse you to rush to the house so that we also comply with our duties as honorable. And on that note, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.